Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome back to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt, and we're brought to you by Ironman U. Amazing new technology at everysite.com. RunCatalina.com. We've got the Catalina Eco Marathon coming up on November 21st. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. You can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. Our next guest, a little bit of a departure for us because we're going to talk a little baseball with a gentleman who's been an all-star, third in the Cy Young voting, and known as Complete Games James, Mr. James Shields. James, how are you, sir?
Not too bad. Just enjoying this nice weather out in San Diego right now.
So, James, let's talk a little baseball, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, when you were in the minor leagues, you had an arm issue, and coming back from that, how hard was that?
I'll tell you what. It was pretty much a 12-month recovery process, and it was definitely tough. I mean, going through the aches and pains and just the mental grind of getting up every day and doing some rehab and hopefully coming back to full strength, but it ended up working out really well.
Well, so really you were in Class A at the time, and did you question, wondering, God, I hope I still have a career?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the first couple months for sure, the fact that I couldn't throw a baseball and, as a young kid, you never know how it's going to come out or what it's going to do. I mean, your ultimate dream is to become a Major League Baseball player, and to have that cut short because of surgery is definitely tough. But, perseverance and a lot of hard work, it worked out great for me.
So how did you have to change your game and your approach to the game after having the surgery? When you lose a little velocity, did you have to become more of a pitcher rather than a thrower?
Yeah, I mean, I was more or less a harder thrower before surgery. But for me, I mean, I throw about, just as hard as I used to before now as I did before surgery. And a lot of that has the attested of being able to take care of my body and each and every year and getting stronger and stronger every year. So, yeah, I mean, definitely you had to become a pitcher after that for sure.
So your first major league game, May 31st, 2006, you're with Tampa against Baltimore. What do you remember walking out to a major league mound for the first time as a starter?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think facing guys like Miguel Tejada and Javier Lopez and guys that I grew up watching, it was pretty surreal, I know that was quite a bit ago, but I remember like it was yesterday. I mean, it was very exciting, a lot of nerves, but to be able to have your ultimate dream as a young kid to become a Major League Baseball player and do it, it was a great feeling.
Well, and then June 5th, you win your first big league game against Anaheim. And then you get on a little bit of a roll. You win your first four starts, first Rays pitcher to get four wins in a row. So you're looking at the league going, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah, until about my fifth start. And I lost about six straight after that.
You found out that, okay, this league isn't that easy.
Yes, exactly, exactly. We call that rookie doesn't get exposed too often.
Right.
As soon as you get exposed with video and all that good stuff, you got to make adjustments. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely it was a good ride. I mean, as a young rookie, you get called up, and right out the gates, you don't know if you're gonna stick in the big leagues or not. You just want to prove yourself and be able to go 4-0 is pretty special.
Well, and in 07, 12-8, 3.85 ERA, 31 starts, 184 strikeouts, 215 innings. That makes you one of the premier guys in the league fairly quickly in your career. What was the difference between 06 and 07?
You know, I think the difference between 06 and 07 was just getting acclimated to the league and being able to make adjustments. And, my number one goal is to go as deep as I possibly can in games and be that workhorse, And in order to be that workhorse, you got to stay healthy and you got to be able to take care of your body in between starts. So for me, it was all about throwing innings. And that was one of the things I got the fortunate to watch Roy Halladay
in
2006 when I got called up, and he was a workhorse. I mean, this guy was an innings eater, and you know, in 2007, I decided I want to be like Roy Halladay and throw as many innings as I possibly can.
So after the 2008 season, you get a four-year deal, which everybody in life, it's about security. Getting that deal at that time, did that make you comfortable, or did you feel like, okay, now I got to go earn this?
You know, it definitely made me comfortable as far as, you know, security, you know, as far as the money aspect goes. But no, I've always been that type of guy that I've always wanted to prove myself and not necessarily prove my worth, more or less prove the fact that, you know, I'm a premier pitcher in this league, and you know, I think that that's the kind of drive that I've always had, and I've always wanted to be the top pitcher in the league. And you know, I mean, so far my career has gone pretty well, you know, you know, knock on wood, I've stayed for the most part healthy, and you know, it's been good.
Well, 2008 opening day starter, you beat Baltimore, and you get a, you know, two hit shutouts, and that was your first shutout April 27th. And May 9th, a one-hit shutout. 2008 was a great year with 215 innings, 14 wins. You guys go to the World Series, only raised pitcher to win a World Series game. Take me through that season and how being the opening game starter, that means you're the ace.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I pitched really well in 2007. And, you know, I pitched well in spring training, and they gave me the opening day nod, which is great. Yeah, that season was pretty special, just for the lone fact of, you know, Tampa hasn't had a winning record in their whole existing, which, I mean, wasn't very long because of, you know, they I think in 1995 or 1996 they started up, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, it was nice that we went to the World Series. We ended up winning all the way into the World Series, and you know, I was fortunate enough to get a win, but we ended up losing in the World Series. But it was a good season. I mean, overall, it really turned that organization around.
You obviously, at that point, you'd pitched in a lot of games, but going to the mound in a World Series game, talk a little bit about that, because most of my listeners, just watching a World Series game is nerve-wracking. I can't imagine walking to the mound for a World Series game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the biggest stage on the planet at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only one baseball game that's you know, that's on at the time in the world, you know, and you're on the biggest stage, and that's, you know, growing up as a little kid, that's what you dream about.
Of course.
I mean, you're in the streets saying, hey, I'm in game seven of the World Series facing your brother on the streets, you know, and it's big ball. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, you walk out and you're in front of, you know, 40, 50,000 people, you know, that are screaming at you. And you know, the emotional is very high. The emotion is very high in that situation. And, you know, that's why we play the game is for the fans and that kind of moment.
So right now with the Cubs in the playoffs, Joe Maddon is managing you. You played for Joe. What type of manager is he?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Joe's one of the best, man. He's a player's manager. He definitely knows how to bring a team together. You know, he lets the guys in the clubhouse be men and you know, be themselves. And you know, a lot of good managers out there do that, and Joe's been a tremendous asset to the Cubs. I mean, obviously, I was with him for 8 years in Tampa Bay, but, you know, just to see the turnaround that he had, no one expected the Cubs to be where they're at right now, and you know, he's doing a great job, man.
So 2011, another great season, 16-12, 2.82 ERA, 225 strikeouts, 11 complete games, make your first All-Star appearance. Was that one of the years you look back and go, man, everything was going right for me?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talked about 11 complete games, and I guarantee all the old-timer baseball guys,
I know,
they'll think that we used to do that every year.
Bob Gibson's going, yeah, that was by the All-Star break.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, back then they didn't have setup men. They didn't have long relief guys. They didn't have, you know, seventh-inning guys. They didn't have lefty specialists and closers, you know, you know, today's game's a little bit different. So, you know, the fact that I got 11 complete games and 33 starts that year was definitely pretty special. I mean, that hasn't been done in a long time. And I believe since like 1999, Randy Johnson or somebody like that. But, you know, I mean, that was pretty special because that's one of the things that I really pride myself on is going deep in games and finishing games. And I do have – I'm not an old-school player, but I do have an old-school soul, you know, as far as the way that I play baseball.
Yep.
And, you know, that was definitely a surreal year.
So, and then you end up third in the Cy Young voting. I mean, when that happens, when you start being in the Cy Young voting, that's the real deal. I mean, you don't get that type of nod unless you're one of the premier pitchers in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, there's just so many good pitchers out there nowadays. I mean, it seems like everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour now, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, it's a tough competition. And to be able to be selected, you know, top three in Cy Young and you know, voted in by the players into the All-Star game that year and is definitely pretty special. It's what you work for.
So 2012, 15-10, 3.52 ERA, and I think that was a year where you had a lot of games where you didn't get a lot of run support. You struck out 15 in a game. That was a franchise record up until that point. Did it surprise you when you got traded after the season, after coming off a season like that?
You know, it didn't surprise me just for the lone fact of, you know, Tampa Bay Rays is the organization that, you know, it's a lower market team.
Yeah.
You know, and I was with them for a long time and my contract was coming up. And, you know, I mean, depending on salary and all that good stuff, I mean, I've seen a lot of players go from there. And that's part of the business. It's unfortunate because Tampa was a great home. The fans are great to be. But I definitely was not surprised at that moment, no.
So you end up with Kansas City and have another great year, 13-9, 3.15 ERA. You strike out your 1,500th guy, and it happens to be Troy Tulowitzki, who just hit a big double tonight. You must be watching going, I struck that guy out.
Yeah, face him. He's also had a few hits off me, too.
So then you guys go to the World Series last year, and you started games 1-5. Just to start two games in the World Series had to be, again, going back to the World Series a few years after you went before. Was it different or did it feel the same?
You know, it definitely felt different. Just for the lone fact of, you know, when I got traded to Kansas City, they had a bunch of losing seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Their pitching staff wasn't the greatest pitching staff in the world, you know. And then when I got there, we actually flipped the script and you know, we changed the attitude and the culture around there. And, you know, I brought a lot of things that I learned in Tampa and kind of what we established in Tampa over to Kansas City. And they really took to it. I mean, you know, when we went to the World Series last year, I mean, it was 29 years waiting. You know, when George Brett was in the 85 World Series. And, you know, those fans in Kansas City were absolutely fiending and just dying for a winning season, let alone going to the World Series. And I mean, that whole city just absolutely erupted. And just to be able to see that was something to see.
Now, the last World Series, I think you guys lost in five games. And this time, it goes to the seventh game. How much harder is it to handle when it's seven games? It's almost better when you lose earlier. I don't know. It just seems like it's seven games. You're going, oh, if we had done just this, we could have got it.
Well, a lot of people might not remember from last year, it actually came down to the last out of the game,
yes,
in the seventh game, and
yes,
we had a runner on third, and all we needed to do was get a base hit to tie the game, and I mean, you know, it definitely hurts in the seventh game, there's no doubt about it. I mean, anytime you lose a World Series, it's going to hurt, but definitely in the seventh game, by the way that we, you know, I think we went 8-0 going into the World Series as well, so which is a playoff record, which, you know, that was a special team. You know, and to lose in the seventh game, I mean, you had Madison Bumgarner on the other side pitching against us, and he was pretty much unhittable.
Yeah, he was.
Playoff. So, you know, I mean, it was definitely disappointing.
How hard was it for you coming off World Series, knowing that you've got a pretty stacked team, to go, okay, I'm a free agent, and I'm going to play for the Padres? And the Padres are obviously great being out here in San Diego and everything, but, you know, when you look at Kansas City, I'm sure you knew that, hey, that we got another run in us.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're just looking at them right now, you know, and they're up 3-2 against Toronto right now. And you know, I mean, it's definitely, you know, you definitely want to get there, but as a player, you know, into the free agent market. You know, you want to go somewhere that you feel comfortable at. I mean, I've lived in San Diego for about 3 years now, so it definitely helped out that my family's here in San Diego. But on the flip side, I mean, I wanted to come to a place to win. And
yes.
I wanted to come to a place where the owners want to win and are committed to winning. And, you know, this offseason, not only are they committed to winning this past year, they're committed to winning the next 4 or 5 years, you know,
right.
and that's where I want to be. I've been in this situation my whole entire career with Tampa, being a small market team and losing every year. And then I went to Kansas City and did the same thing. So there's no reason why San Diego Padres can't be a winning organization.
So we talked the other day about, I think you were down in Texas and you got into a cryotherapy chamber for the first time. What led to that and what came out of that for you?
Well, for me, I mean, and I'm not sure if a lot of people out there are educated about cryotherapy, but
we aren't. We aren't. Fill us in.
Not many people are. It's pretty new in the United States, but it's a cold therapy treatment. And you know, basically, what it is a lot of athletes like myself. We have to be able to recover as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Not only for the daily life, but just for the athletic life. And you know, for me, I wanted to get in somewhere where we dip in cold baths for about 20 minutes and, you know, end up getting recovery. I mean, nobody likes going into cold baths. I mean, I've never heard of anybody that actually likes doing that.
Nope. It's painful.
But for me, it's a treatment where, you know, they spray liquid nitrogen on you and it takes about 3 minutes to get your body temperature down to about 40 degrees, your core body temperature,
yeah.
40, 45 degrees. And you can't sit in an ice bath long enough to get your body temp down that quick. And for me, I mean, it's, you know, when I went into, I found out 2 years ago in Texas that they had one over there. And I mean, my legs were shot. My body was completely shot. And I mean, it completely rejuvenated me and helped me get through the season. So, for me, cryotherapy is definitely a big part of my life, and it prompted me to actually open my own business, so it was great.
So you mentioned when we were chatting about this that you couldn't even take your hand and touch your shoulder, I think. It's like your arm, your pitching arm was that tight from – what you guys do is not natural, right? Throwing the ball the way you guys throw is not a natural thing for the body. So
right.
The cryotherapy made a huge difference just in your flexibility, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like you said, I mean, I couldn't even touch my shoulder. My elbow was bound up. I went in for one session, and I was completely able to touch my shoulder. My pain went completely way down. The inflammation in my elbow was immediately reduced. I mean, I'm not gonna say it was completely gone,
no.
But but for me, I went in there a couple times, and it definitely helped the recovery process. I mean, the massive flush of the bad blood, I mean, it completely rejuvenates all your inflammation in your skin, your muscle tones, your muscle, all your muscle tissues, and it rejuvenates you and makes you feel a lot better. And I'm a big advocate of it for sure.
And it sounds like you were mentioning, too, that a number of the pro teams in hockey and basketball, especially in football and baseball, that
yep.
they're jumping on the train, and a lot of them have their own facilities or their own machines.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like the Kansas City Chiefs, I believe, have a few. A lot of football teams are starting to get them. NBA basketball teams are starting to get them in their clubhouses. I know the Miami Marlins, Red Sox, and we're going to get the Padres to get one, hopefully. A lot of these, sports teams are getting them in their clubhouses to be able to have their players use before the game and after, because it definitely is a good thing to train with. A lot of marathon runners are using it,
oh, yeah.
To train and to be able to recover and, you know, get that better time and get that better, faster recovery. And, definitely a lot of people are using. I mean, I know LeBron James during the whole playoff run this last year was tweeting out all this stuff about how he does cryotherapy every single day and helped him out as well.
How often do you get in to help your arm recover?
Well, for me, it's more accessibility more than anything, you know. And I think if I had access to it on a daily basis, I would definitely get in there at minimum once a day.
Wow. And so when did you decide to launch your own facility, CryoShield?
Well, I mean, it was kind of one of those things where, you know, I wanted to put it in my house. And, you know, the logistics with all the piping and all that stuff didn't really work out and pertain to where I'm living at. And, you know, there wasn't too many facilities. There was only one facility out in San Diego. And all the guys on the team ended up, you know, wanting to do it. And
yeah.
I ended up looking into the business, and, you know, I wanted to start my own business because I'm a big advocate of it. I think that, you know, we did the calf ride. We you know, this last week.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the riders had a lot of positive feedback as far as the times of their ride, how much better they felt on the ride. So we're definitely going to open up here in the beginning of December, and we're going to be at Flower Hill. Is that going to be our first location?
And it's Cryo, C-R-Y-O, Shield, S-H-I-E-L-D, therapy.com. James, in terms of the other, when I look at runners, triathletes, and cyclists, I've interviewed a lot of those guys while they're in the bath, right, while they're in the ice bath. And you can just tell how miserable that is because it takes a while.
Are they able to talk to you?
They sort of shiver and talk at the same time because they're totally immersed, right? And they're like, they like it when we interview them because it takes their mind off the fact they're miserable. So,
right.
You know, it's one of those things. And all of us who are sports fans see every pitcher with his arm wrapped in ice and all of that. Do you see that this is something that, you know, down the line, will they have this in the clubhouse so players actually can jump in between innings or before and after games?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the process of talking to the Padres right now. And like I said, the Miami Marlins have it. There's a lot of teams that already have it.
Yeah.
The guys are doing it. And the beautiful thing about it is it takes 3 minutes. And that's a beautiful thing because the longer, if you stay in for more than 3 minutes, you're definitely going to get frostbite.
Right.
you can't really stay in for more than 3 minutes, you know. And you get the same effect as staying in a cold tub for 45 minutes. So for me, I mean, who wants to sit in a cold tub or do physical therapy, you know, for an hour
right.
and a half when you can just jump in something like this and actually have a quick recovery?
Love it. James, the other thing I noticed from doing a little research on you, you guys, your wife Ryan, are very involved in charities. Obviously, coming
yes.
down the coast, you are supporting our Challenge Athletes Foundation, take care of our athletes, not just the able-bodied athletes, but some of our amputee athletes as well. You guys are
yes.
seem like you're very involved with foster care and with foster kids. Talk a little bit about the different charities you're involved in and what led to that.
Yeah, so when we were in Tampa, we actually started a program called the Big Game James Club. You know, and definitely it was able to have foster kids at the baseball games to where people can meet with them, have a neutral site so that, you know, future adopted parents can go hang out with the kids and possibly adopt them. We got a bunch of kids adopted through the program.
Wow.
We definitely did a lot of that. You know, we were big advocates of the foster care, me and my wife. And, you know, we actually launched our own foundation called Team 33 here in San Diego. It's going to be based in San Diego. I mean, obviously it's everywhere, but yeah, we're going to be doing some stuff with foster care. We're going to be doing some stuff with the homeless and also the military. So, you know, we're big into charity, and we were so glad to help the Challenge Athletes Foundation this last weekend. I mean, it really opened my eyes on how special that foundation is, and I'm hoping I can be a part of that for a long time coming.
I love that. Well, it's great to have you in San Diego. I'm sure it's hard for you to watch Kansas City on TV going, oh, God, I could have had another World Series run, but hopefully next year with the Padres.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's going to be even that much more special to take the championship here in San Diego. I'll tell you that.
I love it. Now, have you ever met Big Game James Worthy?
I have not, you know, and that's the thing is I always tell people, like, your nickname's Big Game. I'm like, yeah, I can't take that away. I'm born and raised in North L.A., and Big Game James Worthy is the original Big Game. So
we got to set up.
No, I haven't.
We got to set up that photo shoot. I think that'd be pretty fun.
I would love to do that. Absolutely.
Hey, James, congratulations. And again, so you're opening in early December over at Flower Hill?
Yeah, we're going to do a little soft opening early December, and I think our complete grand opening is going to be the first of the year to open up the new year. And, yeah, check it out. I mean, you know, come on down, and We're going to be next to, I mean, obviously it's across from the racetrack there off of the 5 freeway, Via de Valle. And then, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, come check it out. And we're going to have multiple locations after that as well. So we're working on that right now.
All right. James Shield has been our guest. Again, it's cryotherapy, cryoshield therapy.com. Opening up in Flower Hill, soft opening in December, opening in January. If you're an endurance athlete or a baseball, football, basketball guy, you are going to love cryotherapy. Athletes love it. Your recovery is all – James, we both know recovery is what it's all about. It's one thing to have a great performance, but as we age, it's all about recovery.
And I'll tell you what, Bob, it's not just the athletes, man. It's the everyday worker, man. I mean, it'll help you. It helps with arthritis. It helps with fibromyalgia. It helps with rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, a lot of different things. So it's not just athletes. It's definitely the everyday worker.
Well,
so.
you were telling me, I think it was a relative who was having problems sleeping, and it made a difference.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the one thing that people have noticed the most, I mean, obviously the recovery, and you feel better, your muscles feel better, but every person that I have put in the machines has said they have had the best sleep and had the deepest sleep throughout the night. So for me, I mean, that's huge in itself, is to be able to have really good sleep at night and not be able to wake up in the middle of the night, so...
Love it. James Shield has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by Ironman U, everysite.com, runcatalina.com, coming up on Saturday, November 21st. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we've raised over $70 million in our first 22 years to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on iTunes and Babbittville. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.